Welcome to Blog Studio Talk Radio. 17. Welcome to Studio 1776. I'm joined today by David Pruitt of Pruitt Tree Resin and co-host Eric Jones, the Freedom Screamer from Courtroom Watch, Courtroom Observers. Today we're going to be talking and doing a roundtable about the battle for property rights and Agenda 21. Just want to welcome Eric and David to the show. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Daniel.
Yeah, you're welcome. And I just want to say thanks for joining us today, fellas. Agenda 21 in the fight for the property of American. You know, this is a very big topic. It seems to be a very hidden topic from the American public. And so today we want to talk about some of the things that we know and we've done some research on. I know that I have, and I know Eric has. I'm sure you have, Dave. And so let's get right into this. So anyways, the Agenda 21 started in 1992 in Brazil in Rio de Janeiro, in the United Nations. And basically, it's a plan by the globalists to control populations and by putting them into big centers, pretty much big population centers. And it's a pretty scary thing when you really look at the agenda and how far it's come since 1992. And David or Eric, do you guys have any things that you want to touch on as far as regards to this Agenda 21 and property rights?
Yeah, Dave, give your description, and then I'll get into a few points.
Well, as Eric knows, I actually did survival consulting and stuff like that, so I think I have a pretty good grasp on it. Basically, and I mean, you can't just look at Agenda 21. You also have to look at the Biodiversity Treaty. I believe that was signed in either 2001 or 2004. I can't remember. But Biodiversity Treaty, there was a very well-educated man who actually made a map. And basically what it is they don't want people to be able to live off the land. That's what a lot of this stuff goes to, is because where self-reliance is, there is more freedom. Because when the government controls every aspect of your life from cradle to grave, you're now their slave. And it's a very terrifying thing to them if you're not a slave to their little system. And, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that it's not a good thing when you have no property, when you have nothing that you can own, when it's a society of rental and there are no absolute property rights. You see, the Bible teaches us that, and I mean, I'm not trying to be some religious zealot or anything. I'm trying to say that the Bible clearly states that we're supposed to have property. What that does is it actually gives people a sense of ownership and pride in ownership. When you have people who are renting and things like that, a lot of times, and I'm not being disrespectful to anyone who's rented, because I've rented before and stuff like that, but it's really a different, there's a different type of pride that comes with renting. And when you have no absolute authority for property ownership or anything like that, you have tyranny, because if no one can own anything, then, you know, what security do you have in this world? You know, I don't want to take up the whole broadcast, but I mean, that's a really short and condensed version of how I feel about it.
Excellent points, Dave. This is Eric, the Freedom Screamer. Thanks for joining us today. And Daniel, thank you for putting this together. I hope people realize Daniel doesn't get paid to do this, although he should. He does it out of the passion to spread the truth to the people and get people aware of what's going on. I mean, it's easy to get distracted from what's really going on by the overwhelming, you know, piles of things that we just have to do to get through our daily lives. And I'm sure all you single parents out there who are joining us tonight from Single Parents Helping singleparents.org, you know, I'm sure you're well familiar with just the absolute, you know, overwhelming nature of what you have to do to comply with not only just bring up your child in a decent environment and do it as best as you know how, but to comply with all the regulations and restrictions and mandates and statutes and codes that we have to, well, we don't have to, but we are told that we have to obey. Once again, are we not the better master of our own destinies, or do we want to delegate somebody else to be our master? I mean, that just sounds like slavery to me, but they're doing it in a manner that's stealthy. In other words, under the radar. If they come in with guns a-blazing and, you know, this is off-limit, and they do this sometimes, but if they do it too much overtly with power and force and militarized policing, you know, people will tend to wake up a little quicker, maybe stand up a little quicker. So they do it by stealth. They do it by backroom deals. They do it through UN Agenda 21, which is now looking forward to the entities that have put forth UN Agenda 21, which is the blueprint for your future drawn up by somebody else. That right there ought to rub you the wrong way, people. But now it's morphing into Agenda 2030 and Agenda 2050. And it always comes in with a really good sales pitch. Wouldn't you like to have a world with no poverty? How about a world with no war? A world with no borders? You can walk all the way to Jamaica and they build a little hut on the beach and have a pina colada. It's a perfect world. It never happens that way. It's called preaching utopia. And very evil entities, very powerful evil entities, mostly communistic, have over the centuries, over the millennium, preached this idea of, well, just give us government people, us bankers, the elites, so to speak. And I'm not ragging at wealth. I'm ragging at people who use their wealth in a wrong and very self-centered way. Give us the power, and we're going to work it all out, dish everybody out an equal share of the pie. Socialism, communism, we see where that goes. Of course, that's usually, quote-unquote, a kind of a more democratic ideal, but look at what the Republicans do. They have their own version of the utopia being pushed from the, quote-unquote, right, which is the perpetual war, the international conquest, the military suppliers getting bigger. Look what the president's saying now. We've got to make our military even bigger. We've got the biggest military in the world. We're going to make it bigger while everybody's broke. It's just, it's the same. They do it by stealth, backroom deals, passing codes that are kind of obscure, entities like ICLEI, I-C-L-E-I, which is one of the kind of direct management arms of this UN Agenda 21 scenario, and ICLEI is showing up all over the country in thousands of towns and cities, probably in a city near you, maybe even the one you're living in, but to their credit, I think almost 1,000 towns and communities have also rejected this idea and have called have set up what's called a UN-free zone. Very interestingly enough, during the Oregon situation that developed with the Bundy family, where the Patriots is kind of made a statement by setting up a little camp, a nonviolent, out in Oregon at a federal quote-unquote federal land facility that was seized unlawfully by the federal government, taken away from the people of Oregon. They made a little statement out there. And of course they were demonized, and to cut to the chase, when they went up on trial for their charges, the long tried and tested jury nullification was exercised by the jury, and the jury said, and they didn't have to say this, they just had to say not guilty. But in the conversations that were had with the jurors after the Bundy, trials from the Oregon situation, the jurors said that they were nullifying the law. They didn't agree with the law. They didn't agree with, even though the Bundys had, quote-unquote, trespassing on federal property, so to speak, they were making the statement that, hey, this is the property of the people. And you can't, the federal government has no jurisdiction to just constantly seize land by the millions of acres and make it off limits to use by the people. Once again, the seizure of private property. Quote, this is from an article by a Dr. Paw, Hannah Paw. She writes, private property must be guarded as priceless freedom. Landowners should reject the sustainable development idea that only government can protect nature, air, soil, water, open spaces, and the poor. That's what a great condensation of just a short and sweet way to get to the point right there. Your private property rights must be guarded. If you give up your property rights, as Dave Pruitt was just saying, what do you have left? Where are you going to grow your garden? Where are you going to raise your family? What happens when the rents get jacked up so high that you can't afford to rent anymore? What about all the things that you're proving? What, can't have a dog? Every time I go into the paper, every single one says no pets, no pets, no pets, no pets. Many of them will have a no children policy, but they won't print that in the paper. So it just shows you how far it can go. And this, I'm really glad that Daniel brought up UN Agenda 21 as our topic for the night, because, you know, in kind of restore, dusting off the old Studio 1776 blog talk, you know, radio situation we have here, because it's been a few months, many months since we did a broadcast here. So I appreciate any people who are joining us tonight, and I encourage you to continue to join us, because we're going to attempt to bring a weekly broadcast to the people, and we're going to try to do it every Saturday night, because it seems to be a good night when people are home. We'll do it at this hour, or maybe, you know, somewhere around, you know, end of the day here. We're going to try to stretch it out to 2 hours, although tonight we only have 1 hour. So tonight's going to be kind of an overview, kind of setting the foundation for why this matters. Okay, what? Who cares about Agenda 21? What does it, what does it have to do with me? Oh, boy, I'll tell you what it has to do with you. Not only does your private property rights get seized, your everything, Common Core. That's part of UN Agenda 21, because they're teaching this in the schools now. Your energy, your electricity, if you have a smart meter on your house, that's UN Agenda 21. A smart meter is a two-way device. It doesn't just supply electricity and show the electric company how much you used. It transmits a signal every couple of seconds back from your house or home to the electric company, telling them exactly how much energy you're using, what you're using it for, because don't forget, if you've bought an appliance that says smart this or smart that, smart stove, smart this, you've seen it all, smart all these appliances that are smart meter ready, stay away from them, people, because once those are tied in with your smart meter, in the words of the CEO of Procter & Gamble, he said, we have to, and this is about 10 years ago, he said, we have the technology to be able to know, this is the corporations that are selling you your stuff. He said, we have the technology to know every time someone opens a tube of toothpaste in their bathroom. All we need is a Trojan horse to bring it in and make it palatable and acceptable to the public. That means with a simple RFID chip, they can make them the size of a grain of sand, in the cap of your toothpaste. As soon as that seal is broken and the cap comes off, with an RFID chip reader at the phone pole out in front of your house at the roadside, they can tell every time you open your tube of toothpaste. With a smart meter on your power pole or on your house, they can tell every time you open the door to the refrigerator. They know every time you turn on the stove to cook a meal. They know exactly how long it takes you to cook a meal. They can tell every time your garage door opener goes up and goes down again and you leave your house. And do you really want knowing that not only is the government very untrustworthy, but the hackers that can get into these systems are also very untrustworthy, do you really want external entities and agencies knowing every time you leave your house when your automatic garage door opener goes up and down? That's how deep and how far it goes. These are not conspiracies. These are how the systems are set up. And they say so if you read the fine print of your agreements. I'll give you one little example of a person who recently woke up. I had told a young gentleman, in his early 20s, younger than me, and I said, I was telling him about the cameras and the phone and the computers that were able to watch you from, you know, outside places, including the corporation that you deal with when you sign your terms of agreement. And they kind of said, whatever, you know, conspiracy man, blah, blah, blah. And he came running up to me a few months later. EJ, Eric, I'm so sorry. He said, you were right. He said, I read the terms of my agreement with Google on my computer, and it says that they are you have consented to allow them to watch you over the camera on your computer. That's how far this all goes. The system is the people at the top. Oh, and let's just get this one out of the way right now, folks. The people that you see on TV do not run the world. And the people who do run the world, you're never going to see them on TV. You're never going to hear their names mentioned. They're hiding behind front people like Bush, Clinton, Obama, and all the other litany of people they put the Pope. The people behind the scenes are the ones that run the show, and they're usually the banking establishment families with the Rothschilds at the head of the head of the snake, the royal families of Europe who still hold the wealth, and the Vatican Bank, the Church of Rome, along with the Church of England. These are the largest, wealthiest entities in the world, because the Vatican Bank and the Church of Rome's bank, which is the Vatican Bank, and the Church of England's bank, are private entities. You know, once it's under the heading of the church, it's not a public. You can't get in there and review their stuff, what's going on. But it's well known from people on the inside that the Vatican Bank owns the largest majority shares of all the insurance companies, and the royal families of Europe own the big blocks of stock in almost all of the multinational corporations that you see. And the big ones, the big multinationals, have gobbled up everything. Just look at Exxon and Mobil merging together to form the largest oil conglomerate in the world. Oh, by the way, their CEO, Rex Tillerson, is now the Secretary of State running around the world telling everybody else what to do. Don't forget, we have a big problem on the foreign situation now. Diplomacy has gone out the window. When was the last time you ever heard someone in the mainstream prostitute media use the word diplomacy? They don't. Everything is foreign policy, policy, policy. What is policy? People in our country make something up, and they hand the orders along as if it were a military unit. Go do this, go do that, you will do this, you will not do that. So we're basically living under a dictatorship disguised as freedom, and they're going to pull and they're going to bring it into a community near you, or your community, through things like UN Agenda 21. Back to the article, humans have always desired to own a piece of land that could be passed on to their heirs. Once they acquired property for homestead or farming, men labored on their land under the assumption that it was theirs to keep in perpetuity. If you ask the government, land belongs to the proprietor as long as the required taxes are paid in full each year. And the government does not confiscate property except through eminent domain if there's an environmentally endangered situation in need of protection. If you ask progressives, land belongs equally to everyone, and nobody should be allowed to own anything. Everything should be communal property. Let's stop right there. There's communism. And the progressives will tell you right there, give up your private property. No one should own anything. And what they'll do is they'll blame the corporations and the people who own obscenely large blocks of land, like millions of acres, like the federal government and its agents. They won't blame the people who the problem really rests with, but they'll blame the little guy for having a couple of acres out in the woods. That's the whole scam. They'll say, well, we got to end the war, end the private property, end the corporate ownership. But the solution is to turn everything back over to the same government that's owned by the corporations that they're ragging at. You get this scam, they're driving everybody right back into the loving arms of what we would call the Antichrist system through these ploys such as UN Agenda 21. The painful lesson in communal property, communism, has been forgotten, at Jamestown, has been forgotten or never learned. And I don't know if I can put my hands on the book with the quote from the first governor of the colonies here in Massachusetts, William Bradford. I'm going to try to do this from memory. Let's see if I don't butcher it. In 1622, William Bradford, who was the first governor of the first colonial settlement here in America, in North America, or the Pilgrims, okay? He wrote something to the effect, and I'll try to dig up if we have a break coming up, or if you guys have any comments when you start, I will go look for the exact quote. But it basically says, when we first arrived to the new America, we attempted to put all the land in communal property so everybody would have and that everybody would do equal work and get an equal share. But the problem was, and he wrote this, that the people who worked harder and to try to get ahead a little more and have a more comfortable life and maybe some extra food to feed their children and their pets, they weren't getting any more for their hard work. And the people who were lazy asses and did very little, they got the same as the hard workers. Now, that's just not right. Let me stop there and say this. If someone's disabled, if they're crippled, if they're, mentally retarded, if they're needy, if they're incapable in any way of doing the work, okay, the community comes in and helps those people, and we have to have charity. Absolutely, that's godly work. But to automatically have a blanket policy from the government that everybody, no matter how hard you work, is going to get the same piece of the pie, well, let's just look at what happened in the Soviet Union. It's now called the FSU, F meaning former Soviet Union. It didn't work because communism, it's against human nature. So Bradford, the first governor, went on to write that this communistic plan for everybody to have an equal share of the pie and no matter how much work they did, little or large, didn't work. And he said, well, we've changed our plan and gave everybody their own parcel of land based on how many people were in their family. So if you had 10 children, you might get 50 acres. If it was just you and your wife, maybe you get 5. You know, they you know, gave a proportional piece of land to what you was you know, sensible for your size, your family. And after that, that was it. All hands off. They left it alone, and guess what? There was more corn being grown than ever before. They were rolling in resources. The women were eagerly going out into the fields to help their husbands. They were bringing the little children with them. They wanted to go out because they saw the fruits of their own labor retained in their own possession. That's what human nature requires. Communism never works. Even if it did, it's not going to work in this modern world because it's always run by the government. The same government that's tied together with the corporations that are supposedly on the right doing the damage to the environment, oh, yeah, that same communist government is going to take all the property and give it all back to the people in equal share. Baloney. You see how well it works? It doesn't work at all. It never works. It didn't work at Jamestown in the early 1600s, and it didn't work in the late 1900s in the former Soviet Union. Painful lesson that Jamestown has been forgotten or never learned. When people worked the land together, some worked harder and some were lazier, yet everyone ate the same. The entire settlement almost starved to death. The following year, when the communal property was divided into individual parcels, everyone prospered. Humans understood that the individual freedom and cooperation on smaller scale are much more successful than the domination by a few in an exclusive government-run society. So there's your overview. Do you want private property, or do you want to have to basically rent for the rest of your life because you're told to? Or do you want a choice? If you have there, and not everybody can afford to buy, I've rented all my life. I'm still renting because I have a little mortgage on a piece of on a wooded lot. And so, you know, I know how it is. I still to this day do not own a piece of property. I'm working on it. But, you know, I know how it is. So for all you renters out there, but don't we all aspire to eventually have our own, be the masters of our own destiny? And I would say yes. There are very few people, unless they're either working for the enemy, working for the government, and they want to seize your land, or they're just really foolish and haven't really kind of woke up to human nature and reality and where the problem really is. The problem is not in the little people owning a couple acres of land so they can have a garden and do what they want to do. And build their own kind of house that they want to live in. The problem is the elites at the top using all kinds of plans and ploys to blame the little guy. Yep, go ahead.
Well, I want to mention a couple things before the show, because we got 5 minutes officially on the show, and we'll have about 10 minutes after the stream. There's a couple of things I want to mention. There's a free booklet available. It's the most popular booklet in the nation exposing Agenda 21. It's called The Special Report, Agenda 21, and How to Stop It. Now, I downloaded this booklet from American Policy Center. These guys are the leading advocates against Agenda 21. They have a lot of really great information. They have a store with different books on there. But this one particular book I plan on downloading on Studio 1776. So if people want that book, I will have that on Studio 1776 so that they can actually download that for free. And
let me reiterate that over the next couple of broadcasts, next week and the week after, we're going to revisit this. So people, this is not just us mentioning you, and I've got a stack of information here but I couldn't get all to it in an hour. We're going to tie it right into your neighborhood. Real quick, there was a first lawsuit was filed against UN Agenda 21 in 2013, and it really spells out. We're going to get into that in the next broadcast. I didn't hope you didn't mind me interrupting there, but I want to encourage people to follow our broadcast here. We're going to spell it out for everybody because not all of the information out there is good, but if Daniel's recommending it, I definitely trust that recommendation. But read things with discernment, people, because a lot of people have infiltrated this movement against UN Agenda 21, and they'll try to sell you other ideas that are similar. So with that, I'll turn it back to you, Daniel.
Yeah, also, there's another website. There was a man named William Cooper, and he started the Hour of the Time. Well, the Hour of the Time, they have, I can't remember what his name is off the top of my head, but if you go over to the Hour on the Time, they also, it's hourofthetime.com, and they also have quite a bit of information on sustainable development and Agenda 21. And you can download some of the information over there if you, you know, but we're going to continue, like Eric was saying, with Studio 1776, we're going to continue pounding this information with Agenda 21. We're going to keep bringing you guys the best information that we can, the latest courtroom cases on Studio 1776.
Listen to this one. Speaking of courtroom cases, Daniel, let me just interrupt because I know we're running, and I want to give people some hope here for solutions on the way out. Quote, Colorado. Montezuma County Sheriff Dennis Spruill is waiting for his conscience to tell him should he start handing out tickets this week to U.S. Forest Service agents who are closing backcountry roads, because this part of this UN Agenda 21 is shutting off public access to these new federal lands that have been taken over by the federal government. The fact that a county sheriff is considering such action against the federal government is good news. Oregon, Josephine County, when Gil Gilbertson was sworn in as sheriff of Josephine County, he had 30 years of law enforcement experience, both in the United States and the military, so when the citizens began complaining of harassment by the U.S. Forest Service law enforcement officers, he said he'd investigate, figuring out he'd do what he could, he disagreed with their policies, he contacted the local ranger district. He was bluntly told that, no, they couldn't have any involvement in this, so the feds are telling the sheriff, go take a flying leap. As the chief law enforcement officer, which the sheriff is, elected by the citizens, saddled with expectation and responsibility to safeguard their rights, I, the sheriff, fully intend to uphold the laws against any threat, inappropriate, or unlawful actions against them. So there's a sheriff in Oregon standing up. Utah, hunters in the San Juan County face a number of roads that have been closed in national forests. And the sheriff there is apparently standing up. Montana, the Helena National Forest Service, is closing down roads there. So the good news is there's a resistance among county sheriffs out west, especially to these land seizures under UN Agenda 21. So I wanted to give people that ray of hope that there are good people in the system, and it will come down to your sheriff, because don't forget the definition of sheriff is that he or she is the chief peace officer in a county or subdivision. That's the legal definition of a sheriff. That means he's over the feds. He's over the state police. Yet while you have to elect a sheriff with guts who's going to stand up to the government and protect the people from the very oppressive government that is creating the worst threat to their security. Back to you, Daniel.
Well, our official time for the show has ended. But we've still got about 10 minutes until that will automatically close down on us. But I want to give
Daniel, can we mention Pruitt's tree resin? Because I don't know if we got into that. Dave's with us tonight, and I appreciate him coming in with a great presentation at the front, and then I chewed up the rest of the hour. But I had a lot of information to get out there to people. I want to just – if people enjoy what they hear in this broadcast, please support our sponsor. And it's Dave Pruitt, who's with us tonight, and he's the proprietor of PruittsTreeResin.com. That's P-R-U-I-T-T-S. Pruitt Tree Resin.
Yeah.
It's the finest ancient American tree resin available for cuts, wounds, bruises, sores, infections, It's a fourth generation American-owned company. Everything's made in the USA. You deal with real people when you call. Dave, do you want to mention your product and the contact information while we have a couple minutes here? Because I really appreciate you supporting this broadcast. And if people want to help this broadcast and the activism and the research that we bring to you, please go to PruittsTreeResin.com. They have a video on YouTube. You can talk to Dave. He's a great guy. He's into prepping, and he's into survival, and he's into off-the-grid living, natural cures, et cetera. So, Dave, tell us a little more about your product before the show closes out. I encourage people to go to PruittsTreeResin.com.
Well, your listeners can go to our website, which is PruittsTreeResin.com. They can go to the About Us section of that website and learn a lot more about us. My great-grandfather was the one who actually invented PAV. It got nicknamed the Miracle Salve because people were just amazed by it. But they can feel free to call us and all that stuff. We're more than willing to talk to people and explain more about the products. But my great-grandfather, what he did was he was able to find that Lewis and Clark used tree resins on their excursions. It was... Tree resins really are one of the most important things out there. And if you're a Christian, you've read your Bible, frankincense and myrrh are both tree resins. There is an importance to the fact that frankincense and myrrh were two of the gifts given to Jesus out of three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is what we measure the value of everything else by. It is either less than or greater to gold, right? Gold is the standard that we measure everything's value by. So if they would have given him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, that means that the frankincense and myrrh would have had to have been equal to or greater to the value of gold. If you think about wise men, that would be the only thing that makes sense, right? So frankincense and myrrh, myrrh has been used through the Middle East for thousands of years to deal with infections in teeth, all those type of things. What my great-grandfather did was he was able to find sources of ancient pocket resins and was able to find the highest quality ancient pocket resins and was able to make those into different medical salves and wound salves and oils and even pure resins, and he was able to do that and was able to help thousands of people. If your listeners want to learn more, they can feel free to call us. Our office number is 573-226-3039. That's area code 573-226-3039. And I have no problem calling into the show, and I know that off-grid living and stuff like that is a big deal nowadays. So, I've been doing this for a little while now, and I have a pretty good handle on it. I have no problem coming in and teaching about tactics, mindset, systems, how we have to approach different things, and all that. I don't have a problem teaching people. It just seems like more and more people these days don't really want to learn. They want to have the illusion of knowledge, not actual knowledge.
Very important point there. People have really given up the yearning and the seeking of knowledge for something called entertainment. And it's, boy, is it a sellout and a cop-out. And I know people want to have good news all the time and an easy life, but here's the deal. There's some really oppressive things coming down the road toward us in society right now, towards our own individual lives. And what are we going to do about it? First you have to know, then you have to care. But through the knowledge is what we're going to try to bring you here with these broadcasts. And the caring is really up to the individual. It does take, some caring to actually say, well, what can I do? And we're going to get into, in the next broadcast in the few coming weeks, we're going to get into solutions, what you can do specifically to prevent UN Agenda 21 from being implemented in your community. You can start off by refusing a smart meter. Stay with an analog electric meter. Smart meters are not only disclosing all your personal information about how much and what kind of energy you're using at your house. They're also going to allow the prices. They're also very dangerous. They put out an enormous amount of radiation. Many fire departments have showed up at house fires, and the first thing they say is a smart meter is right there. They tend to very have very disastrous complications with shorting out and technical malfunctions that can cause fires on a home. So if you have a digital smart meter, get rid of it. Go back to your analog meter. And so we're going to get into solutions on this. But people, like Dave just said, get yourself some knowledge. I know some of this stuff is uncomfortable for people because it sounds like we're negative, but we're not. And this is why having a belief in a higher power, whatever that may be. I had a biker once tell me, my higher power is Harley Davidson. Well, great. Pray to Harley Davidson. Pray to God. Pray to Jesus, whatever, Buddha, whatever you have, because once you can turn your worrying and the negativity over to the Creator, it allows you to kind of lighten the load and then be able to kind of fight these battles, so to speak, nonviolently with political activism, much easier with a clear conscience. I've been overwhelmed sometimes with the negative things I've seen going on in the corrupt courts, especially with children being taken away. Horrible situation where the parents are not at fault, but the courts and the communities and the adoption agencies are getting money. The more children they grab through the courts, it's called adoption incentives. Once again, a great selling feature. Oh, what adoption incentives. You know, all these poor orphans will get. It doesn't work that way. All of a sudden, when there's money in it, the courts are trafficking in human flesh, and they have CPS, Child Protective Services, seize as many children as they possibly can so they can make money. And this came out during Clinton and continued through Bush and continued through Obama and is continuing through Trump. So get yourself knowledge, people. Don't worry about being entertained. If stuff seems a little negative and overwhelming, well, hey, this is the world. This is what you've been delegated to do. Don't try to fight all the battles and win the whole victory at once. Pick a little part. You can't move a mountain, but you can move a shovel full of dirt at a time. I heard a man say that the other day. I thought that was great. So don't get overwhelmed. Fight the battles at the, you know, one person at a time. When I do my thing with the corrupt courts, yeah, I'm broadcasting. I'm getting the word out to, you know, thousands of people, hopefully millions. But I'm also helping, you know, Wayne Mosier up the road here when he had a problem with the code enforcement agent hassling him and got dragged into the court. And we won it on the challenging the public officers laws. We'll get into that another time. So, but you can win these wars by just getting engaging in a little battle here and there. Hand a few flyers out to people at the office or, you know, at church or at the coffee shop. Post a couple of flyers on the phone poles around town. You can be creative. Go down to your courthouse and hand out jury nullification flyers so if you ever get dragged into court, your neighbors and friends know that they can find you not guilty, even though you may have violated the law, quote-unquote law, if the law is unfair. And many, if not most, laws are really unfair and unjust these days. So, Ellen, you can find your jury nullification flyers downloadable at courtroomwatch.com. That's courtroomwatch.com. We have a jury nullification flyer there. Just download it, copy them, make 100 copies, keep them with you, and hand them out everywhere. Great solution. So don't get overwhelmed fighting the entire war. Pick a little battle here and there, win a few hearts and minds, and that will spread like wildfire, and we'll eventually have much more freedom if everybody out there listening tonight will get involved in some way or another. Back to you, Daniel and Dave.
Well, you know, this has been a pretty interesting conversation tonight about the Agenda 21 and sustainable development, and the other nickname they like to use is 2030, which is the new and updated version of that. And Eric, you definitely mentioned some very important things as far as solutions, and that's what we're working on here. We are going to be organizing some Agenda 21 resistance here, and also we're going to be pointing them into the courtroom watch. That's a very good way to organize information. And we're going to be having the books. We're going to be putting books here for Agenda 21. And we're going to use this program and platform to start to bring together like-minded people that are interested in learning more about Agenda 21. And as we talk about this subject week in and week out, we're going to be bringing on also guests that are dealing with this Agenda 21 firsthand. But
we're going to try to expand this to a 2-hour or more broadcast. Right now we just got an hour. So if people want to, you know, hear more of this, more truth coming out and more activism and solutions, please help support what we do. You can go to singleparentshelpingsingleparents.org and you can shop at Daniel's new online store. Pruitt's Tree Resin is going to be up there. We're going to add a whole bunch of other things as well. So shop with us, and it'll help fund the broadcast. You can also go to you can donate through PayPal. CourtroomWatch.com has my PayPal account. It's Eric with a C, Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S, last name Jones, Eric Hughes Jones at Gmail. If people want to donate, and we really appreciate it, we rely exclusively on donations from the public. We don't have any financing from the big boys or big girls. We appreciate Pruitt's Tree Resin. Buy something from them. If you want to get something for your donation, buy something from Dave Pruitt at Pruitt's Tree Resin. Give that number again slowly, David.
That number is 573-226-3039.
Mm-hmm. One more time.
Once again, that number is 573-226-3039.
Excellent. Daniel?
Awesome. Well, guys, I could see that the time is ticking down here, and I just wanted to say I appreciate you guys joining us here this evening. We're going to be downloading this. It's going to go on our YouTube page on Studio 1776 and also on the Anti-Illuminati Party YouTube page. And you can find this video, which we're recording live, on Studio 1776. If you look it up on Facebook, you'll find us there. And so, and the most important thing is if you guys want that free book, that free download, go to studio1776.org. We're going to have this broadcast recorded there. We're going to have the download of that free book. We're going to have Pruitt's Tree Resin with the phone number, website connection, and it's going to be a great place for us to organize. If you have any comments or suggestions, we definitely read the comments, and when they come in through our website, we are definitely appreciated. So we definitely do get back to people if they email us through our website. Again, we appreciate you guys joining us here this evening at studio1776.org. And again, next Saturday, same time, same place, and we will talk to you guys soon. All right? And if
Thanks,
anybody
everybody.
Has any last words, go right ahead.
Okay, here's the last words. I'm going to talk us right off the program by listing the national heritage areas that fall under UN Agenda 21's program. For all you people listening up in Rochester, my hometown here, the Erie Canal National Heritage Corridor is enormous. And if you travel Interstate 90 from Buffalo to Albany, you're in a National Heritage Corridor, whether it's the Erie Canal National Heritage Corridor or the Hudson Valley National Heritage Corridor, and they span hundreds and hundreds of miles. Look for the signs as you're driving down the road. And it's very interesting how they put now listen to this. It says you are entering the Erie Canal National Heritage Corridor. That means you're leaving someplace and going into another. And very interestingly, they put the signs for the Erie Canal National Heritage Corridor right about 40 or 50 feet in front of or behind every town announcement entrance. So if it says, welcome to Brighton, you go about another 100 yards and it says, welcome to the Erie Canal National Heritage Corridor. Welcome to Manchester, Erie Canal National Heritage Corridor. Welcome to Victor, Erie Canal. You take a look, people, start looking, and you will see UN Agenda 21 everywhere. List of National Heritage Areas, Abraham Lincoln National Heritage Area, Arabia.